Hi, everyone. Welcome to the West Wellness and Longevity Podcast. My name is Tara West, and I am a functional nutritionist, passionate about how we can use food as medicine and truly heal our bodies. I'm also obsessed with longevity with a love for peptides, fitness, and all the latest and greatest biohacking resources. I spend hours upon hours looking at the latest research and implementing them into my own life and in my practice with my clients. I look forward to sharing all of this wonderful information with you. Hey guys, quick reminder, this podcast is for information purposes only and not meant to treat or diagnose. So please consult with your personal health practitioner prior to implementing anything that you hear about on this show. Now on to the next episode. All right, welcome back everyone. I hope you had a wonderful Easter weekend. We actually stayed in Austin, did not go to our ranch for this holiday. And it was actually nice to be home. The weather here in Austin has been absolutely gorgeous. We did have some rain, but it was a little on the colder side from what we experienced most Easters. And so it was just really, it was really enjoyable. And I was happy to spend time with my family, although my son was with his girlfriend and her parents. So I missed him being here, but other than that, it was a wonderful Easter. So I hope you guys had some time off with your family and got to celebrate the Easter holiday and the true meaning behind it and all the good stuff. So let's just dive into today's episode. And this was a topic that I came to the forefront of my mind as I've cycled a few peptides recently. And to be perfectly honest, we should probably call this episode like Confessions of a Peptide Guru. Because what we're going to talk about is some unexpected outcomes of recent cycles that I've done for myself and then and just working with other people to some things that have happened to them. And the ones that I'm going to discuss personally were, well, intentional, but some of them were by accident. I did dose it incorrectly and then had an unexpected outcome from it. And so that just goes to show that you should triple check your dosing. I do this so much and I get in a hurry that sometimes I just don't take the time to think through the things that I should, because we should be very specific in our dosing. So I'm being very transparent and vulnerable with you here to let you know that yes, I make mistakes with these things too. And the good news is with most peptides is we don't have a lot of side effects, but there are some that you have to be careful about. And we're going to talk about some of those as well to give you an idea of what that might look like. But the first one I want to talk about is a recent experience that I had with the CLO stack. And for those of you that aren't familiar with CLO, it has typically you'll have about 50 milligrams of the GHKCU copper peptide, 10 milligrams of BPC-157, TB-500, and KPV. Okay, so it's all in one vial together. And I may or may not mention this. I had a breast implant revision about 8 weeks ago now. And so I immediately knew that, you know, once I gave my body a couple of days after the initial inflammation that your body needs to have for the healing response, that I was going to cycle CLO to help with the healing process. And this is a peptide that I have used many times before. So this is not by any stretch the first time that I have taken it. But what I decided to do, because I wanted to heal quickly and I wanted kind of a really immediate impact, and I don't know, I've never done this before, I decided to double the dose. So I know we see a lot of dosing protocols out there. And for the CLO, the one that I normally recommend is starting at 2.5 milligrams of GHKCU, 500 mcgs of the other three, the TB-500, the BPC-157, and then the KPV. And so I was just to kind of jumpstart my healing. I was like, well, I'm going to double it and see what happens. So when I doubled it, that bumped it up to 5 milligrams of GHKCU and 1,000 mcgs or 1 milligram of all the others. And I wasn't expecting anything dramatic. But what I noticed very clearly was a significant improvement in my skin. And that's not really what I was taking it for. I was taking it more for the healing. Obviously, I had sutures and stuff like that. So I wanted the skin to heal. And there was all this, all the disruption also, you know, in the tissue and things like that. So I was wanting that to heal, but the actual skin improvement kind of surprised me. And so let's talk about why this happened. And when I say skin improvement, I saw a noticeable change in my skin elasticity, my skin texture, my skin's ability to hold on to moisture better. So it wasn't as dry, which can often, as we get older, lead to that crepiness in the skin. So I really saw that improve. And so let's talk about why this might happen, because I've cycled these things before. Like I just said, I've cycled Clo, I've cycled Glow just for skin and GHKCU just for skin. Never at this dose, but I have done it before and saw great improvement, but this was kind of a step above, okay, for me. And so when you're talking about something like GHKCU, the response is not always linear, meaning doubling the dose doesn't just give you a little bit more of a result. Sometimes it gives you a completely different result. And the reason for that is something that I like to call the threshold effect. So at a lower dose, like where I was initially, your body is getting the signal. So GHKCU is starting to signal collagen production, support tissue repair, reduce inflammation, but it may not be enough to fully activate those pathways in a way that you can actually see the amount of significance that I've been seeing. And so these things are happening, but it may just not be as visible to the eye. So then when you increase the dose and suddenly you cross that threshold, now you're getting stronger fibroblast activation, which are the cells that actually build the skin, more collagen and elastin production, more tissue remodeling. And that's when it starts to shift from something that's happening internally to, wow, I can actually see this externally. And here's the other piece that matters, because I didn't just increase the GHKCU, because that stack had the BPC, the TB, and the KPV. So now you have less inflammation, faster tissue repair, and better cellular signaling. So everything is working together. And so instead of just adding more, you're actually amplifying the entire environment for the repair and regeneration. And so the takeaway I really want people to understand from this is peptides are not always about finding a dose. They're about finding your dose and the dose where your body actually responds, because everyone's threshold is different. Some people will see results at lower doses and others need to push a little higher to actually activate those pathways. So if you're using something and you feel like, I think it's doing something, but I'm not really seeing it, it may not mean it's not working. It may just mean that you haven't hit that threshold for you just yet. And for me, this was a really good reminder that sometimes the biggest shifts don't come from changing everything. They come from making just a small adjustment. All right. And I want to reiterate here is that not everybody has to do this. I don't want everyone running out and like, oh, let's double or triple our dose on Clo. I want you to find the dose that works for you. One of the questions I get, particularly about GHKCU, is about the copper toxicity. We're not talking about doses here that would actually cause copper toxicity. It may be a good idea to kind of offset at a higher dose with some zinc, okay? So you want to make sure that you're staying in balance there, so you're not getting too far of a shift one way. So that is one thing that I did decide to do, is increase my zinc uptake. Really just need 15 milligrams a day. Most multivitamins have usually 5 to 10. So check your multivitamin before you just add in the zinc, because you also don't want the zinc to counteract the GHKCU. So just a little tip there. But you really don't have to worry about copper toxicity even at this higher level. But at the end of the day, if you want to try it, try it. If you've never tried it, then try it at the lower dose first. And then if you're not getting the response you want, you could increase it. I was surprised by this. This was not something that I was setting out to do. I was really just looking for better healing. And I did and have been healing insanely well. So I know this is in part due to, you know, my nutrition and everything else, but also due to the peptides. And so, because they all synergistically work together. But it's definitely something that if you've taken it before and maybe you like the result, but maybe you were hoping it was a little more impactful, this might be a good thing to do. And I'm not totally convinced that you couldn't get the skin component by just doing the GHKCU. Are you definitely going to get the added repair and tissue regeneration, I think, with the other ones? But if you're on a budget, because the Clo and the Glow can be kind of expensive, start with the GHKCU and see if that gets you there. And the dosing is the same. It's 2.5 milligrams. So if you wanted to double it, that would be 5 milligrams. All right. So that's one example. Let me go on to another one. I recently did a podcast about this, and that's a product we recently added to the Peptique product line, and that's Vesalute. And so I, on my first round of it, I had better bladder control. Let me back up. If, for those of you that aren't familiar with Vesalute, it is a peptide bioregulator that helps with bladder tissue and rejuvenation and repair and optimization, okay? And so, and I, like I said, I did a whole podcast episode on this if you want to go back and learn more about that particular peptide, because I'm not going to do a deep dive into it here. But when I ran that round, I saw improvement. I saw better bladder control, less urgency. It was noticeable and I was happy with it. And I decided to take 30 days off and then cycle round two, which I did this time. What I realized about halfway through that I'd actually been dosing higher than I thought. So if you have a 20 milligram vial and you reconstitute with 2 mLs of BAC, you take 20 units, that's 2 milligrams. I don't know what prompted me to think I needed 40. That was 2 milligrams, but for whatever reason, that's what I took. And I kind of caught on to it about halfway through. But I noticed that what was happening was at a whole other level than what happened before. So I was not getting up at night at all. I saw improvement with that the first time I took it. But the second time I realized a couple of weeks in, like, I hadn't gotten up at all. Urgency basically completely gone. That idea of like, oh my gosh, you didn't need to go to the bathroom and all of a sudden you have to go and you have to go like right then. That completely left me. I was having zero issues at all on the treadmill, where before I saw a huge improvement, but now it's like completely gone away. And just overall, it felt like locked in the result, okay? And so it got me to thinking, was it the higher dose or was it the fact that this was my second round? And the answer is it was probably a little bit of both. So the first dose, just like we talked about earlier, peptides have that threshold effect. So at the 2 milligrams, you're likely getting the signaling, you're starting the support tissue function, things are improving. But at the 4 milligrams, you may be getting a much stronger regenerative signal, more impact on the tissue itself, and more noticeable functional improvement. So again, it's not always a linear. It's just a little bit better. Sometimes it's a different level of response. But I do think it's important to mention that this was my second round. And with something like a bioregulator peptide, you're not just temporarily influencing the symptoms. You're actually supporting tissue repair, cellular function, and signaling at the organ level. In my opinion, what was likely happening is the first time around, I'd improved the environment, I'd reduced the dysfunction and started the repair process. But the second round reinforced that signal, deepened the repair, and basically helped stabilize the outcome. So this is something that I see over and over again with more of these regenerative healing that oftentimes it's not just the first round. Sometimes you have to cycle it multiple times, and sometimes you have to amp up to the next level. Again, that's not what I intended to do, but what happened, and I'm still in that cycle now. I'm finishing out my last couple of weeks, and my plan is to keep it at that 4 milligram dose just because I'm getting such a great result, and we'll see. You know, I can't imagine getting more improvement because I feel like back to a very steady baseline, like pre-children with this, which is kind of miraculous because I'm 50. And so we'll see. If I start to feel like I'm having issues with it again, I'll cycle it again. But normally these bioregulator peptides, you cycle them, you know, once or twice a year, and you're usually pretty good. So I will keep you guys updated on that. And just remember that you may have to do more than one round of it. I'm going to throw this in here. This wasn't even in my notes to mention, but it just came to mind. Epitalon is a really popular bioregulator peptide, and I see this a lot. if it didn't work for you the first time, it's a great one to do a second round of and maybe increase the dose to see if you get that effect that you want. Okay, just going to throw that out there. Okay, here's another one. Melanotan 1. Now, I talked about this in a previous episode again, but I thought due to the nature of the topic of this episode, I'd bring it up here. And this was a really good one because it surprised me. And again, it was my own user error. So normally you want to start melanotan around 250 mcgs. This is melanotan 1. I'm not talking about melanotan 2. For those of you who are not familiar with it, it's the melanin peptide. It produces pigmentation in your skin. It's one of the main reasons why people use it. It can systemically do other things. I'm not getting into that today. If you want to know more about melanotan, I did do an episode on it recently, and you can go back and listen to that. But it's one of my favorite peptides. I've been using it because we've been traveling a lot lately, and I love how well the pigment is created in my skin and how long the pigment lasts in my skin. And so I was cycling it, but you want to usually start at 250 mcgs, and which would be 5 units on a 10 milligram vial with 2 mls back. But I realized that I was doing units, which is 500 mcg, if you reconstitute it that way. And what I couldn't figure out is like the first couple of days, I will say it did make me nauseous the first couple of days. And that is a known side effect. I had cycled it before and not had any nausea. So that kind of clued me in like, this is interesting. I haven't had this side effect before. And then it went away. The nausea went away. But I realized, I kind of like started to notice that every time I took it, I had no appetite, like crushed my appetite. And the only thing I had changed and added was the melanotan 1. And so I started doing some digging on it and trying to figure out, like, could this actually be the culprit? That's when I realized, oh, shoot, I've been taking 10 units instead of 5. So I essentially doubled the dose. And melanotan 1 works on the Cortin system. I never say that right, so just ignore me. Which most people associate with pigmentation, but it also plays a role in appetite regulation. So at a lower dose, which is the recommended dose of 250 micrograms, you're activating those receptors, but more mildly. And this is not one you want to activate, you know, at a super high level. So let me throw that out there. So you're not going to really notice anything beyond that skin-related effects. Although I have heard people say that it enhances mood some too. So it has a far-reaching, more systemic reach than a lot of us, you know, really talk about, because the main reason why people use it is to increase their skin pigmentation, the melanin in their skin. But when I jumped to the 500 micrograms, again, I crossed that threshold where for me, those appetite-related pathways became much more active. And that's when I got that very noticeable drop in hunger. And again, that's tied into that same theme that we've been talking about, that peptides are not linear. So doubling the dose doesn't just give you more of the same effect. Sometimes it unlocks a completely different response. And that can be good and bad, right? So you have to be careful with these things. Now, I'm not saying you should take melanotan 1 for appetite control. In fact, don't do that. That's not what it's for. And it's not going to be something like that could replace a GLP or anything like that. But it was an interesting outcome that I wasn't expecting. And another interesting thing, while we're on the melanotan topic, is I recently took a girls' trip to Scottsdale with one of my best friends. And of course, I was like, I'm going to bring all the peptides so we can take the peptides when we're there. And this is one of my best friends, and she's very into peptide. And so I brought a whole stash of stuff with me, like I normally do. And I told her she had never taken melanotan. So I was like, I'm bringing melanotan 1. It's the tanning peptide, but we're going to be out in the sun. So it has a protective component to it as well and all the things. And she noticed the first day that we took it, like that she just had no appetite. And I gave it to her at the right dose. So maybe this is more common than I had thought. I just know when I had cycled it before, it did not have that impact on me. But it certainly crushed her appetite. And I will say, I think there's a diminishing return on that. Sometimes you can experience that in the beginning and not experience it, you know, as you get used to the peptide. But it definitely was one that surprised me and definitely impacted me on the higher dose. And so it's just another thing to keep in mind as you were doing your own research with these peptides. So let's talk about when the starting doses start to, when they can backfire, when they're much from someone, because there's the opposite side of this coin too. If you have my peptide guide and that sort of thing, the protocols that I have in there are based on pretty much three things: my personal experience, my experience in working with people and getting their feedback, and all the research that I've done over the years. And so these are normally very low and slow protocols that work for a big majority of people, but not for everyone. And this is what I do day in, day out. So I am prone to experiment with these things to see what really works for me the best. And I would encourage you to do the same, but cautiously, always start with the low and slow dose, okay? And that is going to be, generally speaking, what's in the peptide guide. That being said, my sister-in-law had recently done a round of Ibotessa blend to help build lean muscle mass. And she called me one day and said that she was having all these weird side effects. So she was had tons of fluid retention to the point she had to go get lymphatic drainage. And she showed me before and after pictures of her ankles and her feet. And she's a very tiny, petite person. And I mean, it didn't look like her feet at all. And she commented that she had what felt like pain up and down every vertebrae of her spine, that she could actually feel it. Now, the water retention is something that I hear a lot with the growth hormone peptides. Although I will say the pictures that she showed me were far worse than what I would consider typical, okay? And sometimes you'll get some of that carpal tunnel type of pain. I hear a lot of people tell me that. I know my husband experienced that the last time he did a round of tesamorelin. But what she was experiencing was more extreme and something that I hadn't heard before. And so for her, that starting protocol was too much. Now, she was later in her cycle, and that does have a building effect. But that's when you know, okay, I need to back off. I need to back down. I always encourage people, because a lot on the protocols, it'll say take it twice a day. Start with the one day, the one time a day dose. And then if you want to up it to two times a day, you can. I personally, when I'm taking the growth hormone peptides, I stick to once a day injections, because if I don't, I do experience those side effects. But I learned that through trial and error, through making that mistake. My point is that her threshold is probably even considerably lower than mine, because she had such an extreme response to it. So that's the other side of this coin that we've been talking about. What happens when you double a dose? Well, let's talk about when the starting dose can kind of backfire on you as well. So that's why you want to pay really close attention when you're layering in new peptides to see how your body responds, because she knew immediately that it was the Ibotessa blend, because it was the only newer peptide that she had brought into her existing protocol, and she had not had that side effect before. So it was kudos to her that's how she layered it in, and she knew immediately, okay, we're going to stop this because I don't want to have these side effects anymore. That doesn't mean that you can't do it again. Can she cycle Ibotessa again? Absolutely. But next time, probably keep her on a lower dose, or maybe just switch her to the Ibomorelin, which is a little more gentle on the system. That's something else too. You kind of have to play around with these things to see what works for you. Another example that comes to mind with this that comes up literally all the time is MOTC, okay? I generally like to start people on MOTC around 1 milligram, but I will tell you, so many ladies come to me that I work with and say, I'm feeling exhausted. And so for some people that are more sensitive to the mitochondria push that it's going to give you, it's going to do the opposite, and you're going to get extreme fatigue on it. Those people, almost 99.9% of the time, when I tell them to drop their dose in half, report back to me feeling phenomenal on it. So again, you have to figure out, this is not a one size fits all. You have to figure out what works for you. I personally am doing MOTC right now. I took a month off and I just love it so much. I got back on it. I can do up to 1 to 2 milligrams a day and not have any problem with it. Do not start with that, but you can titrate up slowly to see how you do. I do think there's a tipping point there. Like, I don't know that I would go more than 2 milligrams. And so I think that there is a tipping point there that you get too high. And I hear these crazy people, these influencers out there, like saying crazy amounts of some of the dosing that they do. And I would really approach that with extreme caution, because I've also heard horror stories about that as well. You always want to start on the lowest dose and titrate up very slowly until you can see how you're going to respond to it. And here's another point, and I'm going off my show notes here, but here's another point I'd like to make with that, is that just because a peptide didn't work for you well the first time, it doesn't mean you shouldn't try it again and maybe try a little bit of an adjustment with it and give it time. Like the first time I did NAD, I did not like it. The first time I did melanotan, I didn't like it. And now those are both some of my favorite peptides, okay? Well, NAD is technically an enzyme, but you get my point. Let's go into another example. Two more examples, I promise we're done. But one that I wanted to bring up, because it's not a peptide that I'm personally familiar with that much. It's ARA-290. I went out of order. I meant to talk about this before the example with my sister-in-law. And if you're listening, Jen, I love you. Shout out to you. You're awesome. ARA-290 is a peptide that specifically works on nerve pain, okay, and healing nerve pain. And this is not something that I personally struggle with. So I have never cycled ARA-290, but my mom has had chronic nerve pain, really bad chronic nerve pain in her feet for over 20 years. So when I got my first round of ARA-290 in, I immediately shipped her off some and said, Mom, I want you to try this. And I've got her on several different peptides because she's, you know, she's in her 70s, and I love the fact that she's super open to trying all these things. And they really have helped her a lot, which just makes my heart so happy. And so the point in me saying this too is, if you're listening and you're in your 70s or above, don't be afraid to try new things. And if you have parents that are in their 70s and above, like, encourage them to try some of these things. Because I started my mom on the 1 milligram dose, and she was kind of like, she maybe felt something, she wasn't sure. I said, okay, and this is after a couple of weeks. So then I bumped her up to 2 milligrams. And within a couple of weeks after bumping her up to the 2 milligrams, she reported back to me that the nerve pain in her feet was almost completely resolved and that she felt better than she had in years. And she has a part-time job that she likes to do just to keep her busy, but it keeps her on her feet all day long. And so for her, it was super important. I would think for anybody that would be super important. But I was shocked, because I've known about her, obviously, her nerve pain for all these years. And because it's not a peptide that I'm personally super familiar with, I was so encouraged to hear that this was actually really working for her. But it did take bumping up to that next level. So again, don't be afraid to do that. Do your own research, but don't be afraid to do that with some of these things. You know, some of the growth hormone ones and the GLPs we have to be careful with. Some of these healing peptides, the range can get really broad with them. And so if you're starting on the lower end, it may take bumping that dose up a little bit to really get the results that you want. And I will say, this is chronic pain, old pain that she'd had for over 20 years. And sometimes that takes higher doses and longer protocols to heal. But she responded really quickly on it. And I still have her cycling it right now. I want her to do a little bit of a longer cycle on it. But I have been super excited and thrilled with the results that she has got from the ARA-290. Because I often get people that come to me and they say they have this nerve pain and they want to try the Wolverine stack or Clo, which is, you know, Wolverine is the TB BPC blend, which is great. But if you really have nerve pain, I would say the ARA-290 is going to be way better for that. And actually stacking the two, I think, would be synergistically work really well. So I'm just throwing that out there as another little thing. Okay, lastly, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up some examples of a GLP. And what was interesting, because this, you know, GLPs are so popular right now, and I get all kinds of horror stories and all kinds of success stories. But let me talk about where I hear the horror stories, okay? And this is so fitting, because I actually had someone reach out to me this morning who had started on retatrutide last week, and she started at a 2 milligram dose of retatrutide. Well, 2 milligram dose is super high. The retatrutide starting dose is about 0.5, so 500 mcgs, 0.5 milligrams. And sometimes when people come to me and say that they're super sensitive or they're very worried about the side effects, I'll even start them a little lower, half of that at 250 mcgs or 0.25 milligrams. And she had started out of the gate at 2 milligrams. And I was shocked that she didn't really have any gastrointestinal upset. But what she was experiencing that was really scaring her is this feeling of faintness, passing out, that sort of thing. And that didn't surprise me, because often when I have people that start GLPs and they report like extreme fatigue, they got faint, dizzy, kind of head spinning, that sort of thing, it's because their blood sugar levels have dropped too low, right? So she wasn't allowing her body time to adjust to this new metabolic changes in her system. And she did report saying that I think she innately kind of instinctually kind of knew that this was due to that. So she drank some Sprite and said that she felt better. If you have started a GLP and you're having these side effects, you may need to titrate down. In fact, I would encourage you to do so. Let your body adjust. I told her to not take any more for about 10 days and then to start reset completely over at the 0.5 milligram and titrate up very slowly according to the titration schedule. And it should help resolve that, because she also had an increased heart rate of about 10 beats per minute, which is really higher than we want to see. 2 to 5 beats per minute, I think, is somewhat normal. I guess I'd need to look and see what's normal. But based on what I know, as quickly as she started with that higher dose, it's too much on the system. And her body clearly wasn't handling it well. I don't think most people would handle a starting dose there that well. And so that's why it's really important to do your research on these things and know that sometimes less is more, right? Less is better, particularly when it comes to these GLPs. And if you are experiencing that, know that's probably what's causing that. The other side of this, and I recently did an episode about this as well, is non-responders. So you'll start at the right dose and you're just not getting any response at all. And maybe you've been on it for several months. You may have some things metabolically or genetically or that you are going to require a higher dose in order for things to work. It's not a one size fits all. I have these hyper responders that take the lowest dose of Retta and lose 10 pounds in a month. And then I have people that are all the way up to, 3-4 milligrams of Retta and it's not doing anything. You may have to get up to that 5-7.5 milligram dose. And we all talk about this microdosing effect right now, but it doesn't work for everyone. And that may be in the cards for you in the future. Maybe you get up to these higher doses, you reach your goals, and you couldn't come back down. But that microdose may look different for you than it does for somebody else. So I'm going to end this with those examples. My point here is you need to play around with this and experiment with these things on your own. Within reason, I'm not encouraging you guys just to go hog wild crazy out there, okay? And please consult with whoever it is that you need to consult with to feel comfortable about these things. Don't just take my word for it. Do your own research, please. I need to add this disclaimer in there. But these things are not a one-size-fits-all. And so the more well-versed you get in the peptide world, the more you'll have an understanding of what works for you and what doesn't work for you. Keep in mind, I've been doing this for years. And so even I got the surprise from the Clo, because it never dawned on me, well, maybe if I increase my dose, I would get a different result, right? And so take it low and slow, always titrate low and slow. Know you may need to do more than just one cycle. Know that you may need to titrate up or titrate down to get the result that you want. And know that if your best friend or your mom or your sister or your husband or your wife is getting a result off the same peptide and you're not getting it, it just may mean you need to shift it a little bit one way or the other for it to work for you. So that was the whole point in me doing this episode. And so that kind of wraps it all up. If you have questions, I always tell you, email me. I love getting your emails. If I don't respond to you, it means it got lost in the shuffle. I'm not ignoring you. I do really try to respond to every single email. So email me again. A couple of y'all did that this week after, I think, listening to probably to last week's episode. And I was so grateful because oh, shoot, I totally missed that. And I never, ever want to miss an email from you guys. So just bug me again and say, hey, you didn't answer this. And I will gladly try to respond. And what else? Oh, I mentioned the peptide guide. If you have an older version of my peptide guide from last year, email me. I've got a new version that we just put together for 2026. And it has a lot more details in it. I think all around just better. It's free. I'll send it to you. If you are a woman and you are interested in peptides, whether you are a newbie, whether you're well-versed, join the Women's Peptide Collective. It's a group I started that's 100% free. You can look in the show notes and you will find the link there to join. I learn so much from the ladies in this group every single day. I cannot even tell you. And we all learn from each other. And we're just on there talking about all kinds of things. We get hormone questions. We get peptide questions. I try to get on there at least once a day, if not more, and respond to your inquiries. So you can also reach out to me there. So check that out. Please like, share this episode. Leave a very quick review, if you will. That helps me to continue doing what I'm doing. And yeah, lots of exciting stuff coming up for the Peptique soon. If you're interested in research peptides, you can also find that link in the show notes. I'm super excited. Things are just not happening as fast as I want them to, y'all. So I'm not a patient person, and we are working so hard to get some of these new things out that I've mentioned before, like the intranasal line. We have Dihexa coming up the line. We have a hair serum coming up the line. All these things are in the works. They're going to happen. So a new credit card processing, please, Lord, I have been working on this. The new credit card processing I have been working on for months now. What we have right now, I do not like. I'm sure if you tried to check out via credit card, you have noticed how awful it is. I hope to have something this week on that. And when I do, I'm going to send out a mass mailer so everyone knows that that's up and running. In the meantime, we have Zelle and eDebit that you can check out with. You get discounts for using both of those. The eCheck in particular, if you don't have Zelle, is very user-friendly. But I know most people would prefer to pay via credit card. So I promise we're working on that. And just thank you guys. I can't tell you, I know I sound like a broken record, but I love doing what I do. And you guys are like the number one reason why I get to do what I do every day. And I would be remiss without telling you thank you every single time. So thank you. I'm so appreciative of each and every one of you. And that wraps this up. So until next time, have a blessed day.